Father, what we long for more than anything else is to hear your voice speaking to us. And Lord, I pray now in the words that I speak, that your words will be clear. And where they are my words, they would be forgotten. But where they are your words, they would bring fruit into eternal life. In your name. Amen. Right, I don't know if the children would like to come down and sit at the front. I need to ask you some questions. Come sit down here. I suggested that Oscar came this morning, but I was met with a very, 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 very loud snore. So I'm afraid he's at home in bed. I think the hour changed completely through his body clock. We've been thinking about vitamins, the things that the Christian body needs to grow. Now, the first week, can anyone remember what we talked? It was vitamin B the first week. Can anyone remember what we talked about? It was Francis who talked about it. Belonging. And I assure you, the vicar did not prime his child to give the right answer this morning. Well done, mate. Belonging. Vitamin B, or one of the vitamin Bs, because I don't know about you, but there seem to be more vitamin Bs every time I look at the shelf at Co-op. At Boots. Vitamin B this, vitamin B that. Well, vitamin B longing is an important one. The following week, we talked about another vitamin. Now, actually, the children will probably won't be able to remember this because you were out doing things in your group at the time. Any of the grown-ups remember what vitamin A was? Accountability. Not exactly a crowd puller, I think I remember saying. Then, last week, I wasn't here, so someone will have to tell me what the vitamin was last week. What was the letter for the vitamin last week? You weren't here either, mate, because you were with me. Anyone remember what the vitamin was last week? Oh, right. What were we talking about last week? Love. Vitamin L. That well-known vitamin. Vitamin L. And it's one of those things that without L, it's L. This week, we're thinking of that another well-known vitamin, vitamin F. And I tell you, without vitamin F, a body will die very quickly. We're thinking about forgiveness. Now, I'm going to look the other way when I ask this question, and hopefully you will as well. Have you ever done something really, really naughty or wrong? I'll look away. If you have, you can put your hand up. I promise I won't look. Sorry, I asked the question too, didn't I? Have you ever done something really, and I'm looking at you as well, really naughty or wrong? I promise I'll look away. How did you feel inside when you'd done something really naughty or wrong? Sad. Sad. Angry. Who are you angry with? Were you angry with yourself? Yeah, sometimes that is. I don't know about you, but when I've done something wrong, and I know I've done something wrong, it's as if somebody's put their hand right into my tummy and gone, and then feel all churned up inside. I can't sleep. I don't want to eat. My head feels funny. Every bit of me goes wrong. Now, another question. Have you ever been really, really hurt when someone's done something naughty to you? Who's had that? How did you feel? Sad. Maybe you felt angry. Maybe you felt like someone had put their hand inside you and wrapped it round. You don't want to eat. You can't sleep. In order to deal with those things, we need to think about forgiveness. Now, there are two sorts of forgiveness. I've learnt this in recent years. There are two sorts of forgiveness. There's the forgiveness that happens when we forgive other people. And there's the forgiveness that happens when God forgives us. Now, think of it like this. When somebody does something wrong to us, when we're not the person that's done something wrong, it's like we write it on a piece of paper. hurt or pain or sad or whatever. It's like we write that on a piece of paper. And it's a piece of paper that we hang on to. And I don't know about you, this might just be me, but sometimes I'll collect a few of these pieces of paper, especially if it's all to do with one person. I'll go back and read them again and again and again. And I hang on to them. And the thing is, if I've got this piece of paper in my hand, and actually, sometimes we have more than one piece of paper in our hands. Can I shake your hand? Can I shake your hand? Very hard to do anything when you're hanging on to something like that. And it's the same true inside. When we hang on to things where people have hurt us, it's very hard to go on and do other things. We get all churned up inside. Now, what we could do, I'm going to put one down, what we could do is say, that doesn't matter. And do you know something? When people hurt us, it does matter. My mum said for a long time, with various issues we as a family had to deal with, she would knit all of her worries and her fears and her hurts up each week. In her mind, she'd knit the whole week, and there'd be that sort of, whatever she was doing, whether she was watching the telly or sat, she'd knit all these things up into a great big scarf. And each Sunday, as she walked down to communion, she would carry this in her mind with her, and she'd leave it on the communion table. But do you know what she said it felt like? It felt like a little thread had caught, and as she walked home, she unraveled that scarf. And by the time she got home, she realized she had this huge length of wool that was all her worries and all, and so she'd wind it up again. And then she'd start knitting all those worries, fretting about all those things where she'd been hurt. We can't just put these things down. They keep coming back. We keep picking them up again. So what does it mean to forgive somebody? What does it mean when somebody's really hurt us? Does forgiving them mean we say, oh, it doesn't matter, we just rip it up and throw it away? No, because actually we find it's back again, even if we rip it up and throw it away. The way I believe the Bible talks about forgiving others is to hand that claim. That's an IOU, a claim we have against somebody. It's a legitimate, legal claim that we have against somebody. And what the Bible teaches is we need to hand that over to God and to leave it with Him. And as my mum found, actually, that can take quite a long time to do. But eventually she discovered one Sunday she hadn't brought her knitting home with her. We hand that over to God. Now, one of the things that I hear people say a lot is, doesn't the other person have to be sorry before you forgive them? I don't know if you remember Norman Tebbit's wife, who was massively injured in the Brighton bombing. In recent years, someone said, have you forgiven those who did it? She said, no, they've never repented. And I think she's still carrying that claim against those people. Look at the story that we just heard. This lady had done something, probably the worst thing you can do, really. One of the worst things you could do, she'd done. And these people dragged her in front of Jesus. And Jesus is sat there having a quiet moment. I don't think Jesus had many quiet moments, you know. But he was sat there having a quiet moment. And they dragged her in front and they said, teacher, this woman has done something that's so wrong that God's law says she ought to die for it. What do you say? Now, actually, they weren't bothered about God's law. They weren't bothered about what was right. What they were bothered about was tricking Jesus. And so the story progresses. Jesus says, let the one of you who hasn't done anything wrong throw the first stone at her. I don't mind about the rest of you. You can join in then. But the one of you that hasn't done anything wrong, throw the first stone. And can you remember what happened in the story? None of them did. And who were the first people to drop their stones? Can you remember? quite, it was the oldest people first, who perhaps had a bit more wisdom than some of us young'uns, who dropped their stones and walked away. Now, the interesting thing is, there was one person there who could have thrown the first stone. Jesus. Because the Bible tells us he didn't have any sin. So he could have started it off, and then the rest could have joined in. So the woman sat there. I can imagine what went through her heart when she heard Jesus say that. Let the one of you who is without sin cast the first stone. She's got a bunch of the most self-righteous church leaders you could possibly imagine stood round her. And Jesus says to them, the one of you is without sin, throw the first stone. She's thinking, I'm dead. And nothing happens. And I imagine she's still crouched on the floor. And eventually, she lifts up her head and looks up at Jesus. Now, what does she say? Does she say sorry? Does she say... Does she say anything? She doesn't actually say anything. So Jesus says, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? What does she say? Does she say sorry? Does she say help? No. No one, sir, she heard. Then Jesus says, neither do I. And the unwritten bit is, even though I jolly well could, I'm not going to, because I love you. Go now, he says, and leave your life of sin. I don't think we have to say sorry before someone can forgive us. I think relinquishing that claim to God says, God, I can't deal with this anymore. I want you to deal with it in your way. That's what happens, I think, when we forgive other people. It's not that that disappears in a puff of smoke. We hand that over to God and say, God, you know, it's like handing an IOU over to someone and saying it's yours now. We sign it over to God. We assign the right to come back on that to God and say, you deal with it, and I won't hold it against that person anymore. Now, there's issues about trust and reconciliation that I'm not going to go into here. Sometimes we find that someone repenting, someone saying sorry, can come as a response to our forgiving them. Now, that's hard to do. But then, there's a different sort of forgiveness. There's a sort of forgiveness where God forgives us. And God has all these lists of things, and believe me, if it was me that God had in front of him, he'd have he'd probably need one of those boxes of paper, you know, the 5 reams in a box, in front of him. And God looks at each one of these things, that we've hurt somebody else, or we've hurt God, and he looks at them, and as he looks at them, he's about to read it out loud, and Jesus says, hang on a minute, I've dealt with that one. On the cross. And then another one's going to be read out, and Jesus says, no, I've dealt with that one as well. When we say sorry to God, these things really do disappear. And it's not that they didn't matter. They mattered enough that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for all the things that we'd done. It's not up to us to crucify others for the things they do to us. It's to us to relinquish that claim to God and then to come to God ourselves and say, God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I want Jesus to help me. Jesus, please come and forgive me. Because you died on the cross, I know that you will forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. Right, I've got some pieces of paper here, and I need the children to do something for me. Just while I want to talk to the grown-ups for just a couple of minutes. Now, on here, there are 2 boxes. Now, you're going to have to be really, really quick here. I want you to draw a picture of a time when you did something wrong to somebody else, and a picture of a time when somebody did something wrong to you. Okay? So do you want to take some of those? Tyrone, can you take those over? You go to the table over there and go and draw some pictures for me, yeah? And a time when you did something wrong, and a time when someone did something wrong to you. You don't have to draw the worst thing. And do you know something? You're not taking these home. So your mums and dads aren't going to see them. The only person that will see them is you and Jesus. Okay? Now do I ask you to do the same thing? Oh, aren't you feeling uncomfortable? If there is no forgiveness in the body of Christ, then my firm belief is pretty soon there won't be a body of Christ. We see it again and again. Church fellowships where there is unforgiveness against church leaders, against church members, those fellowships just blow themselves apart. What if we choose not to relinquish that claim? What if we choose to hold on to that claim? My experience for me, and seeing it in others, is that that becomes bitter in our hands, in our mouths, and in our hearts. We become angry, more angry than we need to be with other people, because there is that knot of anger that the children talked about. When someone's done something wrong to us, unforgiveness is one of the real crippling diseases of the body of Christ and of its individual members. I think unforgiveness is probably the thing I've seen cripple more people in their walk of faith than any other. It's crippled me in my walk of faith. My mum and dad split up when I was in my teens. My father left and broke off contact with us. 15, 18, 20 years down, no, 20 years down the line since I now saw him. There are still things that I have to work at relinquishing to God about that. It's been a process. I've done it again and again, and each time I've let go of a little bit more of that claim and left it to God to deal with, because I've come to learn I cannot deal with it myself. I cannot make somebody choose to repent. Only the Holy Spirit can do that for us. I cannot make somebody choose to reconcile to me. It may be the other person doesn't want to. Maybe they don't feel they have to. So what do I do? Do I just hang on to that claim forever and let it make me bitter and angry? Or do I choose to relinquish that claim to God and trust Him to deal with it properly? And there's the rub. Do we actually trust God? Jonah, as he sat looking at Nineveh, I knew, he says, I knew you were a just, a kind and merciful God. I knew you'd forgive Nineveh. That's why I didn't want to come. So often I've heard myself sounding like Jonah. I knew you were a faithful and a loving God. I knew you'd forgive them. I didn't want you to forgive them. I wanted you to punish them. That's why I gave it to you. Because you can do that better than I can. And you went and forgave them. Do we actually trust God with our hurts and with our wounds? Are we willing to let God have those things and so let them not have a hold over us? When I was doing my placement at Everthorpe Prison in Hull, when I was doing my theological training, I spent a lot of time chatting with, I can't remember, his name just gone out of my head, the Roman Catholic chaplain there. Especially on the last day I was there, and I was thinking about some of these issues. And it was the time when those boys who had killed Jamie Bulger were coming up to be released. And there was a lot in the press about justice and, you know, people saying, oh, you know, I could never forgive them for what they did. Never forgive them. Can't forgive them for the sort of things that they might have done. And in my head was ringing the words of Gordon Wilson, who I don't know how many years before lost his daughter at the bombing at the Remembrance Day in Enniskillen. And I remember the look on his face as he said, I forgive the men who did this because I want them to come to know the love of God for themselves. Which side is life? I'm not saying it's easy. God forbid that I should ever know what the parents and family of Jamie Bulger feels like. God forbid. But I think, I hope, I pray that were I ever in that situation, that my words would be more like those of Gordon Wilson. To be able to relinquish that claim to God. And then to come to God myself and ask his forgiveness for my sins. That is why vitamin F is vital in the body of Christ. If we don't relinquish those claims, we will die inside, like a rotten tree. The process of relinquishing those claims is a long one. I'm 20 years down the line with my dad, and I actually don't think I've finished yet. But I'm a lot further along that line than I was when I started. So I'd encourage you to think about those claims that you still have. They may only be little, but a little hole in the tooth can still give you a appalling toothache. They may be huge and need major surgery to deal with them. But I'd encourage you, relinquish those claims to God. Bring them to him and allow him to deal with them. Trust him to deal with them. And then let him deal gently with you. Right. Have you finished doing your drawings, or are you still drawing? Do you want to come back and show me your drawings?